You know, just following up on what we were talking about before we started, early part of the hearing, items of interest in the outreach thing, I think this would be a good example for that type of a session, an education session about what is, you know, to try to dispel, you know, any concerns that the Landmarks Commission is opposed to modernity or, you know, and maybe use, you know, some of the information or the, you know, the format. It doesn't have to be this robust, but right. You know, pointing out what we liked about the presentation as a template for future applications.
Yeah, no, I think there's some, we're getting an increasing number of examples. I mean, there was another example, again, in Northwest 23rd that ended up not, they couldn't get it permitted for other reasons other than us that we found to be kind of a really nice design complementary to the district. So I think that, yeah, I would agree with him.
We are highlighting some projects, or we're sort of starting to do that through our website. I think we have another project that we want to highlight, but this could be another one. One DAR, one hearing,
right.
Successful. It tells the story that you want to tell. And that packet, actually, we are using it when we meet new applicants and say, do this. Mm-hmm. Especially the guidelines referencing aspect and studying the neighborhood. So it's really helpful for, I think, everybody.
Right. Good. Good.
I was also going to say you could highlight this project in your State of the City as well. And the Design Commission, I believe it was last year at their last State of the City anyway, they gave a special award. Wasn't like an actual award that they handed to them, but they acknowledged them at their public presentation of the State of the City for an exceptional project. So you could think of doing that too. I think this would be a good candidate.
That's great.
So kind of like a recognition award.
Design,
yeah.
Design excellence.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sort of establishing the bar
right.
For future projects.
You know, we have this award in my company called Raising the Bar Award. That may be like a double entendre because we're all lawyers, but I was just thinking
maybe
we could call it some sort of reference to the bar, but maybe that's not right.
I know that sometimes local jurisdictions don't like to give out awards, you know, for some reasons. But I mean, I'm sure there's a way around it. We could just as a way of recognizing their contributions.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
We do Design Week every year, and we give out awards.
Is your mic on, Matthew?
Matt.
Is that on?
I'm remembering. I don't know if it's the AIA or if it's the City of Portland that does the Design Week. Every year that where they, you know, they have the mayor's, you know, maybe there needs to be a historic preservation component of that.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah, like People's Choice and the ones that
yeah.
go up at Pioneer.
Exactly. Maybe we could glob onto that with a historic preservation acknowledgement.
Right.
It's sort of isn't that the design excellence or something? I think it's through the AIA and the city, because one of them is the mayor's. Isn't one of them like the mayor's choice or something? I know the Brewery Blocks won it years ago, and I'll look into it. But
yeah, I think that'd be great.
If it's already established, you know, we can just add a little historic preservation component to it.
Can we work with like the Historic Resources Committee at the AIA or a panel now, I guess, to help establish
yeah.
that?
That'd be nice.
Can we endorse something like that as a commission? I mean, like publicly, you know.
I think you're asking whether or not there's like a prohibition in the rules.
Yeah.
Well, become more familiar with the rules lately, but I will tell you that because our edict, you know, our ordinance that gives us our powers, I guess, speaks to outreach and advocacy. I don't see why we wouldn't be able to reach out to other historic preservation advocacy groups, but and I haven't heard anything to the contrary from the city attorney's office. So.
You're saying specifically to endorse somebody else's recognition of a quality project?
Sort of like partnering with them in a way to...
Collaborative kind of decision.
Right.
Like, is that...
Yeah. I feel like, that's a really good vehicle for doing that, and especially for highlighting a modern project in a historic district, because Restore Oregon doesn't really do that with their awards. Yeah. I mean, they're sort of like standalone,
It also lets us engage with the design community, because the one's putting that
back
thing
to
on.
Wendy's so, point exactly. of yep. thinking about ways to engage. Right, let's do it.
Well, and you would want that in addition to or separately from just calling out a project on your own?
I think in addition to, because it's a different audience in my mind. People that aren't necessarily going to read the State of the City are going to be more aware of these design awards.
But it would sure be nice if we could highlight in the State of the City that we had worked with this other, maybe the AIA, and that collectively, we wanted to give the nod to this specific project. Because, I do think that helps, it helps our reach. It helps our perception.
And I was going to say, just maybe adding in the University of Oregon School of Architecture, too, because I think that the school that's now in Portland, I think just needs to be reinforced a little bit more about compatibility of design, because a lot of the times when I'm at the university and I'm looking at things that are going through the charrette process, I'm seeing buildings in isolation of everything else.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all this very focused view on just this one little thing sitting in the middle of an island of nothing.
Yeah.
So I think the more we can kind of reinforce that context is important, especially in terms of our day-to-day stuff and how to get your project, how to make your client happy, how to get your project through the process. This is, some ideas on how you can do that. So it's starting with the students and just trying to educate that next, generation of architects.
Maybe it's really a contextual design prize or something,
Yeah.
I like that. Okay.
The State of the City? Is
state
that
of the City.
Want to talk a little bit about?
Yep.
Do you have some ideas?
Well, I kind of feel like we rewrite the same report every year. We give it to them and they don't
make it. Makes life a lot easier, doesn't it?
I kind of want to turn it upside down and go through the last 10 years, create a matrix of every issue that we've reported on, and then just show
HRI,
them which ones
check,
they've done
check,
something
check,
on. Which
check,
one.
Check.
Because it does sort of feel, I don't know, like we're just submitting the same book report year after year. No,
we should do like a YouTube video submission.
We focused on housing a little bit this last year, so we could pick a major topic and highlight that again.
I mean, there is kind of a prevailing theme now running through, I think, how survey is going to be funded in the future at the state and even local level, and that's through the diverse history of resources that have been kind of underrepresented in the inventory traditionally, looking at LGBTQ resources, African-American history, historical resources, Latino resources, because the apparently I haven't read this yet, but there was a National Register plan, 5-year plan that the State Advisory Commission recently approved that focuses, that kind of sets the priorities for what the state wants to promote in its National Register program. And I'm presuming that it's not just kind of talk, but it's also gonna be some funding behind it, presumably, hopefully. But that's probably their point of emphasis. And there's been kind of an increasing awareness that the statewide inventory lacks those resources. I think Brandon has been kind of somewhat involved in raising, making sure that we kind of try to direct future inventory towards those resources. But anyway, I think I don't know if that's a focus this year, on kind of the many voices of Portland's history, or
I think that's a good theme. It's a really good theme, especially in light of the renaming of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement recently. I don't know
which is what? No.
It's, I forget what it's called, but it's the Neighborhood of Community Inclusion or something like that. It's created quite a stir. But I think, to Kirk's point, there's a lot of attention on that issue, both in the preservation community as well as at the city. And I think we could, along the lines of what Matthew was saying, you know, we're always so sunny in our report. I know we talk about our most endangered list and whatnot and some of our challenges, but I mean, along those lines, I think it would be helpful to highlight some of the concerns that we've previously articulated about Chinatown, our only district nominated because of its cultural significance. So I would just say, you know, I think it's a good theme, Kirk, if others are agreeable. I think it would catch, you know, the attention of more, maybe more people would read The State of the City if they it had like that theme somehow advertised.
I mean, we could even do a little legwork and sort of look for a couple of example buildings that aren't on the HRI, but that are representative of those types of groups that are underrepresented.
Yeah, there's one a student tackled this past term. I think I mentioned it before, and it's just it helps for me to crystallize some of the challenges of working within that sector of the city's history, because I mean the restaurant Embers, you know, it moved around at least once. Right. It moved once, so you know its period of significance would have to, I think, start in the 1980s, and then you know there's some significant points in its history where you have the AIDS epidemic and they have a food pantry that's there for, you know, to serve, you know, the LGBTQ community because of the needs that they had, and they were so reliant on that because of what they were going through. But you know, again, that's very recent history, but nonetheless, it's what makes it significant. And when you look at other jurisdictions like San Francisco, I mean, it's just crazy. They have a historic context that for LGBTQ history that's like 350 pages long or something like that. So, you know, it just helps to highlight that a lot of other jurisdictions are doing a heck of a lot more to kind of identify and look at the history than we are. And I mean, I think there's a, you know, pretty big effort in the African American sectors of the city too, where they did this multiple property documentation form, and I don't think they have a single nomination that to attach to it yet, do we?
Well, I thought Vancouver Avenue Baptist Church was.
It's already part of listed. And maybe that they're just going through the process to just list it under the under the document, but it's already been done. So, but anyway, you know, that's another challenge too, because in some of the research we've been doing for Rose Quarter, we're coming up against this situation where there's a high amount of mobility within that community for a lot of the 20th century, where you even have, like, between these three houses, members of the same family are living in different houses, you know, continuously over like a 60, 70 year period. And so they could be in different houses at any time. And so we were trying to say, like, you know, this house is significant for a significant individual. And we're like, well, that person wasn't there, you know, when we needed them to be there, you know, when they gained significance, you know, when they were behind doing, you know, the civil rights movement and that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of challenges that go into those resources, but it just, I think it's going to force us to reconceptualize how, you know, how we attach significance to them.
And I thought you were going to say integrity. You didn't even talk about that.
And there's a certain amount of stuff that almost everyone does to their billings in that particular Portland. And so, you know, your adjustment, your integrity has to be adjusted as well. But anyway, I think that's, you know, kind of an easy discussion to have. It's just a matter of, like, I don't know of very many Latino source resources in the city at all. So that,
you maybe know, Ernestina can help, you know, she may.
Well, and in terms of the, you know, the HRI, and we've talked before about the east side of Portland. I mean, I think that to the extent we have Latino sources, I think there's a lot of that's out there. And I think that does help too, in terms of our state of the city, because there is, you know, some attention paid to the fact that we don't have a representative city council. And so, you know, I know when the primaries, there was a lot of discussion about, you know, making sure that everybody was represented, including people in the far east part of Portland. And a lot of those are communities of color that maybe kind of overlap with what we're talking about. So maybe another angle to pitch the HRI work.
Well, I'm certainly willing to do a little digging, you know, to see if I can at least find people to help, you know, identify something along, you know, in the more Latino communities, especially, you know, East Portland, if possible. So.
And it can even be like place-based. I mean, one of the things that they did recently for Market Street in San Francisco was they just kind of recognized how it has this overlay of civil protest, for instance. It's where like every minority group goes to protest whatever is going on, it's, you know, especially like UN Plaza and around City Hall and stuff. So it's like they're kind of garnering their own significance for a place, and it's just kind of all these different layers, kind of different populations of people. But it's a great expression for understanding why it's important to a lot, you know, to everyone and to a lot of different folks. So
okay, we could talk about Stark Street. I mean, which I don't know what happened with City Council, but there was a proposal to rename it Harvey Milk. So
yeah, they did.
You know, in a way, that's almost one of the last vestiges of that community that was there.
Wait, they did
for the longest time.
Oh no, you can still get Scandals is still there.
Sure, but it's not like it. It's not like it was.
Like they're all gone.
Did you say that they renamed?
It's changed
Stark?
A lot.
They renamed Stark.
I believe they did. Yeah, so I believe they voted to Harvey.
Harvey Milk.
Milk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a few blocks.
But it's only it's only
just
a few blocks.
Blocks of that sort of traditional.
Or Roxy's. No, the Roxy's isn't there. There it's the hamburger place. Isn't that on? I walk right by it to go home. Stark.
Well, I sort of like focusing it in a way on something big and not and getting out of this sort of 10 chapter, just to sort of shake it up a little bit, but one thing I've met with Brandon recently, and I know he had a little bit of grant money for the inventory work, and he was asking me what my opinion was, and I suggested, well, why don't you pick, you know, pick a little zone, focus, and just to demonstrate, mm-hmm. in this 4-block radius, we found 20 undocumented. So I don't know where he is, you know, with that, but and I mentioned Kathy Galbraith and all the work that she's been doing with the African American community.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I think that's
I don't know. Maybe that's theme, sort of underprivileged, underserved communities, underserved by the
and I mean, I think it counters all of the, you know, preservation
NIMBYs,
sort of what
NIMBYs and elitists.
NIMBYs, yeah, I was gonna say myths, but
call ourselves PIMBYs, preservation in my backyard.
I like it.
So, I like it.
I think it could be, a good vehicle for highlighting other issues without, like, the buildings you're talking about finding, you know, examples. They could be URMs, and then we could say,
that's true.
This is going to be lost.
Right.
Well, I think, I think the more we can emphasize that it's a lost opportunity to not inventory.
Right.
Because we just don't know enough about the history, about all these groups.
Yeah.
And there's no better way to express that but through the built environment. So.
And this is not necessarily tied into that theme, but I was thinking one thing that might be good to include in our State of the City this year is some sort of listing or discussion of all the different comp plan initiatives and DOZA and all these different projects that
legislative,
quasi-legislative, you know, that will impact historic preservation. Because I think it seems like this has been a particularly active year in that area. I mean, I could think of residential infill. And,
in other words, highlighting the work that we have been doing in some ways. Right. I mean, we always we always do that, and I think it would be particularly useful just to look at all that legislative work. I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to probably duck out here. I have house guests who have arrived at my house. Love that.
We give them our best.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've got, you know, something to kind of work around, a general theme at least.
I hate to be cynical, and I'm feeling...
Please be cynical.
I'm feeling particularly cynical of late, and... You know, I don't know if this is true, but I get the feeling that there's a resistance to doing the inventory not out of budgets or anything. It's that once we find out what we have, then we're forced to actually react to that. And so it's better just not to know.
Right.
And that's as cynical as I guess you can get on the subject. But I hope it's not the case.
Well, not for everyone.
Starting to feel like... They don't want to do the survey because they don't want to do the survey because they don't want the implications of what it means. And anyway.
What do you think about that, Hillary?
Well,
I mean, how do you, if we keep saying do the survey, it's like we're beating ourselves, like we're just continuing to just beat a dead horse, and let's just accept that maybe we should just say we understand maybe these are the reasons you don't want to do the survey. Isn't money, or I don't know how to get at it, but it's.
Sounds like
I don't want to be rude
an individual
either.
Letter from Commissioner Roman to City Council.
Might be.
If it is,
maybe
then
we can
let's
try city
be honest
shaming.
About
we can
it.
Ask
just
other
tell
landmarks
us. Then we can stop like beating a dead horse if that's the case. If they're just never going to do it.
Right.
I
tell
think
us.
You're onto something,
we'll
though.
Do it.
If other jurisdictions are doing expanding their inventory, I mean, I think it would be good to highlight what.
Yeah.
Shame. You know,
Matthew, would you like to look into that?
I could look into
if
that.
If other jurisdictions are inventorying.
Well, we know they are. I mean, I went to the National Trust Conference and they had whole sessions with it's the city of L.A. inventorying.
Yeah.
I think wasn't it. Spokane or one of the we had a guy come in here was talking about mapping the demolition debris and through some sophisticated mapping system. I'll look into it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry, I don't like to be a cynical I don't like to be down, but
sure.
I am feeling pretty down about where we're at with this one. So
yeah, I mean it's not probably gonna get much better when the legislature comes into session.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Just need to be ready for that when it happens.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to schedule a 90-minute block on the July 9th hearing. So that will put us here till about 3:30. So if you have a chance over the next couple of weeks, and I'll send an email out to everybody, maybe with a link to all of our old State of the Cities so that people could go through them if they want.
I was thinking about trying to find examples of other reports that other landmarks commissions have done. You know?
That sounds good.
Just to kind of get inspiration and see what else is out there. Are you aware of any other... Like off the bat that I should start.
Not
with.
Off the top of my head. I mean, I would imagine it happens.
I like where you're going with that, though, because it's almost like let's identify who has the state-of-the-art best preservation program out there, and what does their state of the city report look like? You know, what are some other jurisdictions doing as best practices? So.
Just recently, I keep coming back to San Francisco because we're starting to do a little bit more work there. But they just did a cultural landscape inventory for the Civic Center Historic District area. I mean, that alone probably costs more than what Portland has put into inventory over the past 4 years combined. And that's just one project for them. So,
wow, San Francisco is doing a lot better than we are.
I don't know if they're doing better or not. It's just that they write more. So they dedicate more money.
The
they put more money towards writing.
Did you
so.
See where they're all stored?
Yeah.
The vault where all the reports are stored.
Yeah. I mean, I think they also have CEQA, and I think CEQA also kind of forces certain things to happen. So I think that they just, their land use system is a little bit more restrictive, and I think that forces that community to act very differently. Even though from a seismic perspective, they're in a very similar situation as us, still, even though they've had some pretty big quakes. So it's very interesting, the amount of effort that they put into recognizing the history of their city. So.
Anything else critical all right. today, or
what's that?
Does anybody have anything else critical for us today?
I don't think so. No.
I will just give a quick update on the RFI, the small cell infrastructure that we had another meeting last week, and they have come up with a map that identifies all the ornamentals versus, you know, other types of the lollipops versus this. The first phase, which is going to be in the next couple of years, are going to just limit addition of equipment to signals. So, but there will come some pressure to add to ornamental light streetlights or to replace them. As mid-block, especially to kind of fill in the fabric of service, I guess you might say. But they've definitely identified areas of like hands-off, which are historic districts for the most part. We're trying to get like the park blocks and areas like that also. So they're right now, they're just in the process of formulating a kind of a request for design from manufacturers and designers to kind of see what's out there, what ideas are out there. It's sort of just a concept. And then we'll have a chance to review kind of what comes back from that, as well as refinement to that map, which will be a guiding document for when they negotiate with companies. So more to come, but it's ongoing.
Thanks for going.
Yeah, thanks for going to those meetings. It's appreciated. Okay. Okay, with that, well, I guess we'll just convene. Thank you.